So as everybody knows, this week the iPad 3 came out. So we did a first for the show. We sent Jamie Dooner on a remote assignment to go check out the line in Century City. So Jamie, you wanna give us a report and tell us what you found there?
Yeah. So I was standing in the line at Century City. It's in a very shiny metal mall. Outside, the rain was glistening on the outside of the Apple Store. There were about 50 people in line, all looking somber but excited. Steve Wozniak was in the line, Cherubic, and I noticed. I felt like I had to talk to him, and I said, "Woz, what's wrong with your hands?" And I looked down at his hands, and they were scarred. There were some missing fingers, and he told me he had just spent some time at the factory, the iPad factory, and after working there for just 1 week, he had permanently injured his hands.
But Jamie, wait a second. You saw Steve Wozniak, you interviewed him, in line at the Apple Store?
Well, I had a translator who was... Woz is very hard to understand. His beard muffles his words. And I had a translator, but you can't call them because they are unreachable now.
Wait a second. Is any of what you're telling me right now true?
I have been to Century City.
Did you interview Wozniak?
I read an interview with Wozniak.
So basically what you're telling me is that everything you just told me, this whole story, you just made up.
I would like to retract my entire iPad story, but I still stand by it.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
44.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Tech Bacon. I am Scott Gold.
I'm Jamie Dooner.
And our little opening was a reference to some big news in the media world this weekend. I don't know if people had seen what's going on, but the show This American Life in January, they had this incredible story. This reporter Mike Daisy.
I wouldn't call him a reporter. He's right. More of a he does these one man shows. He's a monologuist, I guess you would call him.
Yeah, that'd be right.
Right.
I mean, that's and he does it for radio.
Yeah, I mean, usually he does it in theaters, and then, you know, he's one of those guys that This American Life has tapped a few times to repeat sections of his show.
Right. He has his own show. He's not a reporter for This American Life. Correct. He has his own show, and they use pieces of his show sometimes on This American Life.
Yeah.
Well, he's the one that came up with this first article about the Foxconn factories in China. And
we talked about it last week. We recommended everyone listen to it.
To the episode of This American Life, which is a great episode. Well, it turns out he was a little less than truthful.
Yeah.
Actually, he completely made up big chunks of his story.
Mm-hmm.
When Ira Glass and This American Life producers asked him about it originally, he flat out lied to them and said that it was true.
Well, he said he told them they couldn't. They asked for the translator's number, and he said it was impossible to get in touch with her any longer.
Right.
And they just bought it.
Yeah. I mean, now, not to discredit some of the stuff that he quote-unquote reported.
Well, that's the messed up thing about it, because some of the stuff he said is true. I mean, there are people who have been injured in the factories and all this sort of stuff.
Right.
But he exaggerated it so much that it just really minimizes what the actual, you know, now the story is that he lied, the story is no longer
about the factory conditions.
Yeah.
It's about
And he still stands by bringing attention to that.
Right.
But now the attention's all in the wrong place.
Well, and the problem with, I mean, it's a bigger problem. I mean, he lied and This American Life didn't fact check properly, which is too bad because they're a really good show and they are.
Apparently, I have not listened to it yet, but this week's This American Life is all about the retraction.
Right.
And it's supposed to be.
And I think they interview
him again, Mike Daisy,
about why he did what he did.
Yeah, and apparently it's a very compelling hour of radio. So maybe listen to...
We still recommend This American Life.
Listen to the first one. Listen to that Mr. Daisy and the Apple, and then listen to the retraction episode. Maybe that's a good 2 hours of compelling...
After you've listened to the hour of Tech Bacon, so then you've wasted
right,
a complete day of podcasting heaven.
But yeah, This American Life is still, you know, maybe the best radio program on...
Oh, yeah.
It's so good, but...
But
to their credit, they're owning up to it. And,
oh, absolutely.
And that's, it should be interesting.
And, you know, the thing is, like, a guy like this, he reports this, it goes on, and with the fast way that news works these days, you know, that's the bigger problem, is that all these news outlets picked it up, and they didn't fact check it.
Well, apparently,
you know,
the crazy part is that I was reading about the person who, I can't remember, I want to say it was the New York Times, maybe? The person who sort of figured out that it wasn't,
yeah,
all on the up and up. All she did, all the reporter did, I don't know if it was she or he, and I don't know if it was the New York Times, so don't quote me on
it. It might have been the New York Times, but I don't remember.
All they did was Google the translator's first name and the city they were from, and it was the first link that came up. It was that easy to...
Really?
And they called her, and, you know, she had heard the program and was like, no, a lot of that is not right. So it was like...
That's wow. And
it was that easy, and it didn't that's crazy.
For This American Life, they had a relationship with this guy, and, you know, they kind of trusted him, and I guess they shouldn't have. And then I feel it's worse for the other media outlets that picked up the story after it ran on This American Life.
Uh-huh.
Cuz that happens all the time. Especially, you know, online media, a story will break and some sites are better than the others, to give credit, and I know it's Brian works there, but The Verge is very good at saying we don't have this stuff confirmed yet when they do it.
Yeah.
And they're one of the newer ones, so you know, I have noticed that. But there are some out there that will just break a story and then retract later. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the big media outlets, too. I mean, New York Times does it, and you see it on ABC and CBS and NBC on their websites, on their blogs. You know, it's just...
Everyone TMZs now, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, just break the story. Break the story.
Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate because there is a problem going on with Foxconn and companies. I don't fully want to single them out, but companies like that in China. And this, you know, really detracts from it because of what he did.
Right.
Or does it bring more attention? I don't know. You know?
Yeah. I don't know.
And
I mean, if you think about it, like, as just a piece of entertainment, as opposed to... He presented it as a report, though. That was the problem. If it was... It's sort of like James... What's his name? James Fry or Frey, when he wrote that, his biography.
Oh, yeah.
A Million Little Pieces or whatever.
Yeah.
It was about him being in rehab and the terrible things that were happening
right.
there.
That was the guy, Oprah. Yeah, Oprah.
Yeah, and it was an Oprah Book of the Month or whatever, and he wrote it. He said it was a memoir, a true to life story, and then it came out later that he had fabricated much of it. But if he had
presented it
as fiction,
right.
then there never would have been a problem,
or as partial fiction,
and it would have brought attention to the issue.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, I don't want to harp on this that much, but you know, you can check out the stories, and it was interesting to see it unfold over the week.
I would also like to make a retraction for myself from last week's episode. I'm going to retract that saying episode, but I said the word, instead of saying integral, I was saying integral.
And is this true?
This is true.
Oh, you were listening? You were listening back?
I was listening, and I was like, oh, man, I sound like an idiot. So I know what the word is and how it's spelled. I just couldn't say it last week.
Well, your retraction is accepted and notarized, and I think the Tech Bacon audience will let it slide.
Also, another retraction from a few episodes back, I said that the Johnny Carson...
The great blah blah
character
blah.
Was Kreskin, and it was actually Karnak.
Ah, the great Karnak.
And right. I would like to thank Yehudi Mercado for pointing that out to me.
Yes, you're right. That is what it was. all right. So the other big news that we fed into was the new iPad was released this week. New iPad. Woohoo. No, it's actually very cool.
That was a very low-key woohoo.
See, and the thing with Jamie's story was part of it was true because Steve Wozniak was in Century City waiting in line for his iPad.
Yeah.
So, you know, fact and fiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fan fiction. That was some serious fan fiction. I don't know if you've ever read any fan fiction, Scott, but it can get pretty crazy.
Yes, it can, Jamie.
we're not going to go into that.
No, there was a speaking of something like fan fiction. Did I send this to you or did you send it to me? There was a Will Wheaton book on Amazon or on eBay. Somebody sent me a link and it was his character on Star Trek was Wesley Crusher and uh-huh. It was Wesley Crusher is a bleeping machine. And that was the fan fiction title of the book.
Effing machine? Is that what
yes.
you're saying? That's funny.
Disturbing.
Did you buy it?
No.
Did you I say it?
I closed
it
my
so?
Browser. Ba-dum-ba. so iPad 3, well, not iPad 3, actually, just called the iPad.
Right.
They're dropping the 2, 3, 4, which to me makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, like the new MacBook comes out, it's not called the MacBook 8.
Right.
Just the new MacBook or the new iMac comes out. It's not
do you think they're
going to
do that
20.
With the iPhone too the next time?
I don't know. I kind of feel they are. It makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, at least.
Sure. I mean, it's not like they have several different models.
I mean, they're still going to sell the
do
iPad.
They still sell the iPad 2. Okay.
But well, I think then. They're going to like, I think that's
but
gonna...
it's not like a car company where they're releasing five different models at once and they have to name them different things.
Exactly. Exactly. This is the new iPad.
Right.
So new iPad came out, sold pretty well. It didn't seem like the frenzy was as huge as the past. Like they still had models at the stores. There were lines and they
right.
sold, I'm sure they sold a ton, but I think a lot of people ordered online this time around.
Yeah,
I think more so.
Why wouldn't you order online?
Well, if you wanted it the other day.
Yeah,
you wanted
no, but I mean,
it,
but don't you, know. Don't you pretty much get it that day or the next day when you order it online?
It depends. But like after a couple of days, it was back ordered for a couple of weeks, you know,
right.
to get the supply out. But the biggest thing about this new iPad is the Retina display.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't seen it yet, right?
I have not.
So I got a chance to have some hands-on time with
uh-huh.
the new iPad and the Retina display.
Was it resolutionary?
Oh, I think Apple should start using that. The new iPad, it's resolution.
They do say resolution. It's something about resolution. They use the pun.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I
you stole.
I'm going to retract my original pun and attribute it to the Apple homepage.
Boy, I see a theme coming on here. So it's a pretty amazing screen, but to me, it's one of those things, like, if you look at it, you're not going to immediately go, wow. Like, it's not going to jump out at you as crazy impressive resolution. But
right.
when you start looking at it and actually using it and doing it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. It looks, the only way I can describe it is it looks like the icons and things are painted on to
I
the
saw
screen.
I saw a close-up of the
like
difference
a microscope
between...
Kind of thing.
No, well, I saw that too. That was neat, but that just looked like
right.
squares.
But you're talking just a close up of the icons,
or a close up of a game, some
okay.
game, and they showed like how it looks on the old one and how it looks on the new one, and it's just sort of like if you held it like maybe an inch from your eye, that it was some game about I don't know fruit running wild or something,
right?
And it showed a banana, and like you could see the pixels,
a little bit of the pixels
on the old one, and the new one you couldn't see them at all.
No, not at all. Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty impressive, and it's a lot easier on your eyes when you're looking at text,
mm-hmm.
and you notice it. You do notice it.
Interesting.
So my coworker Jared got one, and on the by the way, so he went to the Apple store. He was getting a new Apple TV, which we'll talk about also, and he wasn't planning on getting the iPad.
Yeah,
and he like goes there, and then I get a text with a picture of him holding a box of an iPad, and he's like, "Did I?" And then I got to the office.
Did he do it in a lowercase I?
No, but that would have been funny. And
or did he put I had to? Like I had, one word.
Oh, nice. I had to. I like it. He bought the new Infinity Blade game.
Oh.
Which, oh my God.
Yeah.
Looking at that is, I felt like I was looking into a 3D screen. It was that beautiful.
Wow.
The way it looks. But it's not, that's the thing. Everyone's, you know, the screen's amazing. Is the average everyday user is going to grab it and look at it, and you're not going to, you know, immediately look at it and go, wow. But as you use it, you really notice it.
You know, I saw something on, I think it was Gizmodo, where they showed this tiny, tiny screen, another that someone else had made.
Yeah.
That had the same resolution. It was
really?
An inch by an inch, and it had the same resolution as
the new iPad.
The new iPad, and they were saying how amazing it was. And, you know, then the question was, well, what is this for? And it was, they said it was for perhaps some sort of like headgear.
Oh.
Like, interesting. You know, to put them in front of your eye, like right in front of your eyes, which I thought was interesting.
That's cool. I mean, they said that the resolution on the screen of the iPad, new iPad, has more pixels than an entire 1080p, like Sony, you know, 60-inch television.
That's crazy.
In just that small space, more than the entire space of one of those TVs.
Wow.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's very, very impressive. And also, like, you get better, you can read and see better in brighter light because the resolution is higher. It's not that the screen's like not brighter, but you don't get as much glare, I guess, because of the higher resolution, which is interesting. I don't know how to describe it properly, but you feel like you can see it better in brighter light.
There are glaring omissions in your description.
I'd like to retract what I just said about. And what else? A new processor in there, the A5X. It's just more onboard memory, graphics, graphics processing on the board. So it just makes everything smoother and faster. The thing flies. You definitely notice that.
Bigger, much bigger battery too, right?
A bigger battery.
It's like 70% bigger or something. That's what I read.
Yeah, but it doesn't last a ton longer because it takes more battery power.
Oh, I see.
You know, but they did improve, and it's slightly bigger. But unless you put it up to another iPad, you can't tell. Like, you just don't. You can't tell. It is heavier. It is a little noticeably heavier.
Uh-huh.
Than the two, but still less than the one.
Right.
You know what I mean? What were the other
things? It's a better weapon than the last one.
Correct. And I didn't take this one and throw it around like I did last time Jared got a new one and break the screen.
Did you really do that?
Yeah. We talked about it on the podcast last time it came out. I was taking it on the magnetic, cover.
Yeah.
And I was shaking it.
Oh, yeah.
I was scared to even touch it. And like, as long as it was sitting on the ground. They updated a bunch of apps.
I saw a really funny Swedish comedy skit where this
Urskin iPad.
That was
Urskin.
No. It was like a woman in the kitchen where she should be. No, I'm joking.
Oh.
I'm sorry about that. I retract that. That was a joke. I'm retracting.
I'm retracting that statement
with an old man, right? And the old man's like chopping up onions or something, and the woman's like, "Dad," I mean, it's in Swedish, so it's Morgan. "Dad, what do you think of your new iPad that I bought you?" He's like, "Oh, I love it. It's great. And then you see him like bring the. What you think is a cutting board over, and it's the iPad, and he just like is scraping the onions off of it, and then he rinses it off and puts it in the dishwasher.
That's really funny. That's awesome. Yeah, that's what I use mine for. What else about the new iPad? Better speaker, louder speaker, which is nice. Better camera, front-facing camera's better, and
the same camera as that's in the new iPhone, correct?
I believe so. I believe that's correct. And then, you know, the new iPhoto app came out with that, which is nice. It's pretty neat. I didn't get a chance to play around with it that much, but It's kind of full-fledged photo editing right on the right on the old
some
iPad.
Wackier photo booth
effects
setting.
And stuff and things.
I don't know if that's true. I just made that up. I retract that. but there is speaking of funny YouTube videos, there's another funny one. It's called Grandparents Using Photo Booth.
And oh,
it's just
really?
Old people like looking at themselves.
They get like the all dirty and nasty.
What is
what? Oh, I thought
what is going on?
I would like to retract my last statement. This is not right.
That is not okay.
Well, you know, moving on. Moving on. So, aside from the Apple, the iPad, you have the iPad 2, right? Or the 1?
No, I have the first one.
You have the first one. Would you think about upgrading to 3 or to the new iPad?
I would think about it.
Yeah.
It's not the first thing on my list.
Yeah. I mean, like, to me, the if you had a 2, going to the 3 is a luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's or the new iPad, not the 3. I personally don't think it's necessary to do. I mean, it's nice, and if you're a technology addict like someone like me or Brian or my buddy Jared, then you get the 3.
Right.
But, you know, every average everyday user, I wouldn't do it. If I had a 1, I would definitely consider it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a couple, 2 years old now, the 1.
That maybe? Sounds right.
Probably.
I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. Not actually, maybe not even, which is funny.
No, I think
it's about 2. Right. I think it's right at like.
I feel like it's older
over
than
2.
That,
but, 2.5.
But I don't know.
Because it was like holiday time 2 years ago.
When it first came out?
I think so.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's when it was. Because didn't you get it? You got it as a holiday gift, right?
Yeah, but it had been out for a while.
When oh,
I got
really?
It. Yeah, I didn't get it right away.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
That's why I feel like it's more like 3 years.
Hey, wow. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I guess to the internet!
We will check it out!
Internet, please tell us!
Wouldn't it be amazing if Google actually did that?
If I was in charge of like the Siri voice, it would just be ridiculous.
Yes. How can I help you today?
It would sound like a
Siri. Call me Rock God. Rock God.
I hate that commercial. I usually like Apple commercials. I do not like that one.
No, not at all. I also, it seems like they tweaked Siri a little bit in the new, because iOS 5.1 came out also, which for the iPhones and iPod Touch and the iPad and all that jazz.
You were right, Scott. April 2010.
There you go.
2 years ago.
Exactly 2 years. To the T.
Well,
listen.
A year and a little. It feels like it's been out for like 3 or 4 years. Man.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Technology years are like dog years.
It's totally true. That's speaking of dog years, funny enough, I read an article. It has nothing to do with anything, but about the calculation of dog years.
Yeah.
And how it really is not like 7 years to 1 year. And that like you're supposed to, the way they calculate it is like it's a lot more within the first 3 years of a dog's life. And then it kind of slows down. So when you're calculating, it's like a sliding scale.
So dogs are 21 for a really long time?
Yeah, something like that. But like they start.
No wonder
like
so many of them like beer.
Huh?
Dogs like beer.
Dogs like beer in
yeah.
general?
I think so.
How do we know this?
I have never given my dog beer. But I know a lot of people that give that will like pour a little beer in a cup and let their dog drink
it. I wonder what would happen if Lincoln got drunk. I think he would just freeze. Like you're
freeze.
Just he's already mellow as it is.
Maybe he's like a real angry drunk.
Because Jamie's dog is like the just very chill, mellow dog. And I can't imagine. That's really funny. He's an angry drunk.
You promised me chicken.
He talks to you, Jamie?
Yes.
I believe it.
Yes.
Lincoln. Love that dog. The best dog ever, by the way. I can't say that.
Yeah,
but
no,
he's an amazing
I'll say
dog.
That.
He's an amazing
the best dog.
Dog
ever.
Lincoln is an amazing dog, and he has a beard.
He does have a beard.
Just like his owner.
Name. Just like me, and the former president of the United States.
Yes.
James Madison.
John Adams. So the other thing that came out this the other day was the new Apple TV. Mm-hmm. You don't have an Apple TV, right?
I do not.
I do not have an Apple TV, but I've played around with the Apple TV. It's a nice device. Mm-hmm. I mean, for $99.
It sounds too much like Apple Teeny to me to buy.
I like the new Apple Teeny.
No, I don't. I mean, until it's really integrated into a large screen,
yeah.
I don't really.
Here's what's nice about the new one.
Yeah.
And they implemented this across the board with Apple stuff now. They did it for TV shows, but now they did it with movies. Anything that you've bought, except for a couple of studios, still haven't signed on, but that you've bought shows up now and you can re-download it or stream it to Apple TV.
You mean anything on iTunes?
Yeah. So like if you...
That's my problem is I don't buy movies on iTunes or TV.
Right. I buy movies sometimes.
Unless I'm really... If I know I'm going on a trip or something, I might buy something.
I bought a couple of movies. Well, what was cool, I had bought... So I bought the first movie that came out on iTunes. I think it was like one of the first movies. It was in the first batch, was The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. And when it first came out, I just wanted to try the service. I'm like, oh, I'll buy The Incredibles. That'd be cool to have. So I bought it. And at some point, I deleted the file.
Yeah.
It was gone. I don't know what happened to it. I couldn't find it anywhere. The other day, this got implemented. Boom. It was in my purchase list, and I could re-download it.
Nice.
So that was really nice to have. And you could stream it to the Apple TVs now. So anything you had bought at any point, movies and now TV shows and music now with Music Match, like you can...
Everything's in the cloud.
Yeah. Which is... Yeah. Makes the Apple TV a little more worth having,
right.
You know, for that aspect. 1080p output now, or 1080i? 1080 something. I or P, I can't remember. output, so higher resolution, and a new interface that's kind of more iPad-ish. And apparently they're trying to launch...
The interface is in your face.
It's in your face, man. I don't know. They're trying to launch a new TV service.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did you see the article from Les Moonves?
He
talked about his meeting with Steve Jobs.
No.
So Steve Jobs approached him about a TV service, a little while back. And the pitch seems to be that they're trying to do like apps for stations, which I think would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like the HBO Go kind of concept, right. But like there would be an NBC one and a CBS one and an ABC. I think that would be amazing. And I would be all for that. The networks are not all for that. And Les Moonves apparently in this meeting said, Steve, you probably know 99% more about everything else than I do, except television.
He's
and,
right about that.
And I'm not going to bastardize my other revenue streams for something like this.
But
now,
but,
I think that's backward thinking, but...
No, Les Moonves definitely knows more about how TV works now.
Currently.
But he doesn't... I think someone that's that far into it probably has a real problem
seeing a different way of
seeing how people are watching TV now and like how you could really do it. You don't have to, just because you have a TV as a channel as an app doesn't mean you have to get rid of advertising.
Correct.
If
I think that's what
the
pitch
app.
Was though. I think that they're like that you want they like the and this is just speculation that it, you. They Apple would want you to subscribe to CBS, and then you get all the CBS programming. But as Hulu is doing pretty well these days, and if you pay for Hulu Plus, you watch ads.
Yeah.
So you can do both, and it is successful. I mean, it's not uber successful, but Hulu is doing pretty well now.
Right.
And actually, speaking of Hulu, have you ever seen... They have some original shows now on Hulu. One of them is like... It's like an office type show with a political like a guy running for senator or something, and the office. And I watched it just because I was curious. It was pretty good.
Right.
I was impressed. The quality.
I haven't seen it.
The quality was just as good as watching The Office.
Huh.
Quality by production value.
Oh.
It wasn't as funny. It was funny. It wasn't bad. And the acting was pretty good. but I was impressed that it was like, I'm like, oh, this is a high quality half hour show that is not on a network at all.
Yeah.
Kind of maybe the future, but it was, but that's what Apple seems to be positioning with this Apple TV stuff. And like all the things are in app forms now. like on the display,
right?
Like you click on the Netflix app and you click yeah. on the, you know, so they're really kind of moving into that realm.
Interesting.
It seems $99. You know, I was not. I've
$99.
That's it. I don't know.
For the hardware?
For the Apple TV?
Huh.
It's cheap.
It's like a Roku box.
Yeah, same kind of thing. If you're embedded in the Apple ecosystem, then it's kind of a no brainer because you can use the AirPlay. AirPlay? Yeah, where you can throw up what you're watching on the iPad or iPhone onto the TV. You know, so that kind of, you can throw up pictures, you can,
right.
you know, do all those things. So, you know, if you're really embedded in that.
I like to call it iBarf, Scott.
And how much do you charge for the iBarf, Jamie?
99 cents.
99 and a half cents.
Is that what it is? No.
I have no idea. I don't even know where I was going with that. I was trying to make a joke, and there was no joke to be found.
It made half sense.
Ba-dum-bum.
I'm not retracting that.
You never do, Jamie. You never do. All right. Moving on. We're going to talk a little bit about South by Southwest. Not a huge deal. I haven't been following it a ton this year. But there's always interesting things that pop up in South by Southwest. You know, they're into the music section now.
There were no big... usually there's some big social media thing that comes out of it.
Well, Instagram announced that they're coming out with a big Android app. So that was kind of... that's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they say, it's better than the iOS one, whatever. You know, they just... So they're branching out. That was one of the big announcements.
Right.
And I didn't feel like there was a ton of stuff... But one of the stranger stories to come out of the tech side of South by Southwest.
The strangest story to come out of anything
in a while.
Well, there have been some strange stories in the past week. The yes. Coney guy, that was crazy.
What guy?
You don't know about this? There was that documentary that was viewed by like 10 million people about Joseph Coney, who is a rebel. Like a guerrilla fighter in somewhere in Africa, Uganda.
Oh maybe? Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And he.
No, I heard about.
And
this.
So he. There was a documentary made about him. He's a terrible human right. being. And but
it was
criticized because the guy that made the film sort of made himself the focus of a lot of it. So it was more about him documenting it than it was about. What was actually right. going on.
And then
the guy went after all the criticism. The guy like got like super drunk or high on drugs and was like running around San Diego without any clothes on and pleasuring himself in public, apparently.
Right. I did hear about that. Yes. So that is stranger.
That's a really weird story.
That is stranger than this, but this is weird.
Yeah.
So at South by Southwest, there's a marketing company, called BBH Labs. And they had this promotion called Homeless Hotspots. So do you want to?
After you, man. I'm going to step in it on this one, I think.
So what they did? Well, here's. This is not a black and white thing, to be honest with you. I think right. they promoted it wrong because like the T-shirts. So okay,
it would say like I am Mark, a homeless hotspot.
No, it was even worse.
Really?
It was so they basically what this company did was they paid a bunch of homeless people from a homeless shelter. Money to walk around, you know,
$20 for one day.
But to walk around doing nothing and holding a hotspot and wearing a T-shirt and giving it free Wi-Fi access to anyone they were near. Conceptually, not a horrible idea to pay someone to walk around and provide free internet access. Right? The people don't have jobs and they're homeless and they're at a shelter and the shelter was totally behind it.
Part of the concept too was I don't know if they were implementing this at the thing was that you would. If this is something that ever became something, you would go up to someone and find them and give them
money or whatever.
Money for the password.
But the problem was these shirts said, "I'm a hotspot." It completely dehumanized them.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was actually pretty horrible.
I think conceptually the whole idea was kind of terrible.
But you know what? Like if you think about it though, think about if they just paid them to walk around providing it and didn't have a T-shirt. Awesome.
You mean they did it naked?
Completely naked, and they had it written in lipstick on there. No, but like if they just did it, if they just did it, they, here's $20, walk around for the day and carry this with you. That's cool.
Right.
That's okay. You know,
like yeah.
you're giving them work to do and that's not a bad thing, but the way they did it was so dehumanizing and
right.
really just, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like who, what goes through your brain?
I think it was, maybe it was the Daily Show. The Daily Show had a really nice rant about it. Not nice, but funny. But he said it's the equivalent of like giving a guy a sign that says, I am a sandwich board.
Right,
advertising.
Right, right.
Like, I'm not a human, I am a sandwich board.
Right, exactly. It just think, people.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. You know, it's like, take 5 seconds and be a human being and think about what you're doing.
Right.
Because the homeless shelter, like I said, was aboard, you know, on board for this whole thing. And from their perspective, great. You're giving yeah. some of our people money. They don't have to do much. They just walk around. But all of a sudden, you're like, yeah, but I'm not a human being. I'm just, you know, I'm worthless. And get your Wi-Fi. It was, it's kind of, it just gross, you know?
Yeah, it was super gross, yeah.
It was conceptually not a horrible idea. The execution was horrible.
Yes.
The execution was a horrible, horrible thing. You know, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And I think you agree with me. And I'm sure many people, actually, as I read almost every article about this, almost everyone agreed.
Yeah.
that it was a terrible execution and, you know, bad form. Bad form.
Yes.
So that was one of the things out of South by Southwest. Bands are playing left and right, you know, as usual. Bruce Springsteen gave the keynote address, which apparently was great. I haven't seen it yet. Awesome... Who was it? Lionel Richie and
Kenny Rogers.
And Kenny Rogers shared the stage to sing a rendition of "Lady," written by Lionel and made huge by Kenny.
Yes,
right? Is that
yeah?
I mean, Lionel Richie did record a version of it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of weird that South by Southwest. It's not weird. It's just the evolution of a festival. But it's like. It used to be where people went to see
new bands, discover new bands.
And maybe it's because of the internet and the easy access to.
Well, it's such a multifaceted festival now, too.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. it was always music and tech stuff. The film festival is a lot bigger now than it used to be,
right?
But it's just weird that it sort of turned into a place where established bands go.
Yeah.
Instead of it being more about discovering bands.
New band. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like, I mean, I would like to go one day, but it sounds messy.
I mean, I went a long time ago. I went in like 1995 or something, and it was still really hard to get into things. I think I saw Ben Folds 5. That was like right when they were breaking.
Oh, wow.
But other than that, it was hard to get into anything.
I hear it still is from what I understand.
Oh, it's
got to
be a million times worse because it's so much more crowded now than then. But, yeah. There's a lot more now. It seems like there's a lot more showcases that aren't really part of the thing that are like in parks and stuff. So it's a little easier to go to those kind of things.
Yeah.
Still, I don't know that I would want to descend on Austin when all of a sudden there's, you know, a million
insanity.
More people in town.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather go to like F Yeah Fest.
I think I would maybe want to go.
Or
like,
is it FFF? I forget. F Yeah. I don't. One of them's in Austin. One of them's here in LA.
Yeah.
Fun or F Yeah. I forget. Or ACL.
Yeah. ACL. I would go to ACL. That'd be fun. Austin City Limits.
Yeah.
By the way.
I mean, you know, I enjoy visiting Austin. It's fun.
Yeah. I think I would. If I went, I would go early on the earlier part where it's more of the tech stuff.
Yeah.
Before the music kind of gets crazy. I mean, I would love, obviously, I love music and would love to see bands, but bands. Hello, Chicago accent. I would love to see some bands, Jamie. So anyway, that's our mini South by Southwest report because we didn't go.
Maybe, there might be, you know, things are still going on and there, you know, maybe there'll be.
I'm sure something next week.
That have broke that we'll talk about.
Maybe we'll probe. Maybe we'll talk to Jamie's sister. Aaron about...
Retract it. Son of a...
She lives there.
Wow.
Discuss with her on an intellectual level her experiences living there during South by Southwest.
Maybe we'll probe your sister, Scott.
Oy vey. All right, Jamie, it's not going to turn into that kind of podcast.
I apologize to the Gold Sisters, who no longer have the last name Gold.
This is true. All right, we're going to do a little app review. This isn't going to take long, but new app sweeping the phone world. Ta-da! Is Draw Something.
Mm-hmm.
Draw Something. I have to admit, I have found...
It's really fun.
It's so much fun.
It's like words with words with friends without words.
Correct.
Without words with friends.
It's like Pictionary.
It's like Pictionary.
Yeah. You draw, you get a word, you draw it, it gets sent to your friend, they see it being drawn. That's kind of the neat thing. Like it records your strokes and everything. So yeah. When the person you're playing against sees it, they see it being drawn, and then they have to guess the word that you drew.
Yeah.
It's addictive.
It is. It is.
And some people are bad at drawing and some people are great at drawing. It doesn't matter.
It's not easy to draw on an iPhone.
No.
It's not easy.
Android phone. It's on both platforms.
Yeah. It's not easy.
No,
but it's fun.
It is fun. We were at brunch this morning and post brunch. The three of us, me, Jamie, and our friend Sam, sat at the table, all three with our phones.
For an hour
playing against each other. It was quite
entertaining. I gotta say, I was impressed with Sam's Alf. He drew Alf, the alien life form alien from the 80s.
It looked like a cow or a horse or something.
It looked like Alf.
It didn't look like... I mean, yes, it did now that I know it was Alf, but I couldn't get it. It was hard. Why do you have your hood on, Jamie?
I don't know.
You look like a gnome. Because like your headphones are on and
gnome Chomsky,
gnome Chomsky. You look like a gnome. I don't know.
I don't know. It makes my earphones press harder against my head.
So Draw Something. It is sweeping the nation.
It's drawing a lot of attention in the tech world.
Yes, it is. Wow. Wow. I'd like
to erase that.
You know, you can link it to your Facebook and then you can play anybody, or you can just play random people, which is fun.
Uh-huh.
Out there. So there's a free version which has ads, and then there's a paid version for 99 cents. Yes, I'm going to tell what happened. So I got the paid version and it gives you credits to buy more colors to draw with. And I didn't realize what I was doing. And I clicked on them. I'm like, oh no, I just bought more colors. And I bought the worst packet of colors that you could ever imagine.
Was it ice cream?
Yeah, it was
ice
like
cream.
It was like
ice
pastel,
cream
horrible.
They were terrible. It was very funny.
You get blue, yellow, red, and black to start off with. And so like what I would have wanted would be green and brown and orange, maybe pink, purple. No,
yeah.
I got like tan and like light pink. pastel colors.
You know what's going to end up happening though is like you're going to end up
using those colors
and it'll like it's going to end up being actually the best
right like
palette
skin tone
use.
And like
yeah. All this.
that's true. What's the funniest thing you've drawn so far that you've had to draw?
I thought I drew the movie Cocoon earlier.
Oh, that was pretty good.
I drew a pool,
tell everyone we drew.
A pool and a big rock in it, and then I tried to draw Wilford Brimley standing on a diving board. I guess I could have drawn a butterfly coming out of a thing, and that was
that would have probably
I
been.
I enjoyed drawing Wilford Brimley.
That's good. I had Google was one of my things. So like I just took the different colors and like squiggled them. Like from left to right, like blue, red, green, and then drew a black box with a microphone in it underneath.
Nice.
I thought that was fun. So draw
that's
something.
A lot of fun.
It is fun.
Download it and play us.
You could. Do we have a username?
I don't know. I haven't investigated that much.
I'm gonna look. I think I have a username. I think we both have usernames. On the draw, because like you can attach it to your Facebook account and then obviously you can play with all your friends and you know they show up, but when you sign up through Facebook it gives you like a weird user ID. I'm going to pull mine up here. Let's see if I go to my account. My username is OMGPOP58312830. That's
my username is OMGPOP46174562.
So look us up and play us on Draw Something, and that would be fun. All right. Now we're going to move on. We kind of went into entertainment with South by Southwest, but Jamie D actually had a real experience that he's going to report about from this past weekend, which is pretty cool and weird and fun and interesting. So, Jamie Dooner.
I went, I
you
met,
drove in the car.
I got in my car and drove up the beautiful Highway 1. California Coast, Pacific Coast Highway.
PCH, as some might say.
Yes. Along the beautiful cliffs and shores, and made my way up to San Simeon, which is about halfway between here, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And it is where Hearst Castle resides. If you don't know what Hearst Castle is, it is... William Randolph Hearst was a big publishing magnate.
Tycoon.
A tycoon, son of like the one of the wealthiest people in American history, who was a made his fortune in
and what time period silver. Was this? Was Hearst around?
William Randolph Hearst was like I would say the early 1900s, like maybe the 10s to okay. the
50s, 60s.
And he, so anyway, he used his family fortune to start newspapers and, basically created this publishing empire really by creating false stories. And he was really, him and, Joseph Pulitzer were the two guys that sort of invented tabloid journalism.
Right.
And so they would sell their papers by, there's a famous Hearst quote, for the Spanish American War. He's largely credited with starting the Spanish American War.
Infamous for that.
there was a reporter that was in, it was in Cuba, and he, you know, wrote to Hearst. He's like, there's nothing going on here. There's no war happening. Why am I here? And Hearst famously wrote back, "You furnish the pictures, I'll furnish the war." And you know, so anyway, he was sort of a controversial American character, and he spent a lot of his fortune on antiquities and building this enormous castle on the California coast, right, where his family had property that they'd go camping at when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And so he built this huge castle. There's a private zoo. There's beautiful pools. Just crazy. It's crazy. It's a crazy place.
I've never been there.
You should go. It's fascinating.
It's open to the public. They
open
give
to the public.
Tours.
It's like the tour, I think, costs $20.
Yeah.
So anyway... the movie Citizen Kane is loosely based on William Randolph Hearst. And when it came out, Hearst heard of this. And Orson Welles, Citizen Kane, if you don't know, is...
He never saw it, though, right?
He's never seen it. He never saw it, no.
Yeah, yeah.
He
always claimed he never saw it.
Citizen Kane is widely considered one of, if not the greatest movie ever made,
right?
American movie, anyway, and for many reasons, it's revolutionary filmmaking, and subject matter is one of the reasons. It's sort of an anti-hero American story. It was weird for the time, released in 1941, I think.
Yeah,
and when most movies were sort of very clear who are good and bad guys, this was a
very artistic movie for the time.
Oh yeah, I mean, it draws heavily from sort of like the German expressionist stuff and some of the Russian stuff, but uses it in a different way. It's not as heavy-handed as those things.
I mean,
are.
To this day, that movie just holds up. I mean, it's a great movie-going experience.
It's a great movie. It's fascinating. The filmmaking is it'll blow your mind because it's just sort of that.
Yeah.
Compared to other stuff that was out around the time, there's still stuff today that's not as groundbreaking as that movie is.
Yeah.
You know, even with advances in technology.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's incredible. So
anyway. Citizen Kane, Orson Welles, who made the movie, sort of loosely based it on William Randolph Hearst. And when they had a preview screening and everyone was raving about it, there was one reporter, Hedda Hopper, I think her name was, famous Hollywood gossip columnist and reviewer.
Hedda Hopper here, famous
Hedda
Hollywood.
She recognized it right away as being about Hearst, and she let him know. I think she may have even worked for one of his papers, and immediately he set out to destroy the movie. In fact, he tried to get Louis B. Mayer and a bunch of other executives tried to buy the print from RKO to burn it.
Really?
And they weren't successful.
I had no idea. Wow, that's crazy.
So the movie was released, but it was not. Hearst threatened any theater showing it, saying he wouldn't run their advertising, he wouldn't advertise the movie. So theaters were sort of like bullied into not showing the movie. So it came out in very few theaters. It was nominated for many Academy Awards. It only won the Screenplay Award.
So
it was booed during the ceremony. And it was
so
just
crazy.
A big thing. Hearst really just kind of like shoved Welles's career into the ground. I mean, you know, he had his own ego issues himself,
sure.
But he was largely responsible for Welles not getting the support to ever make another great movie again. He tried and wasn't quite as successful, but didn't have as much leeway in after Citizen Kane. There's another famous Hearst quote saying, "Why did you never get into the movie making business?" And he said, "Well, you can crush a man with journalism. You can't do it in film," which I thought was an interesting quote.
That's funny.
So anyway,
so Jamie
famously,
saw the movie, and
I saw the movie,
and that's the story.
I saw the movie at Hearst Castle. They showed the movie at the man's home.
Crazy,
which is insane. Like, he hated the movie. His family for generations disliked the movie, but I think it's his great-grandson now, who approved it and finally said, you know, I think it's time we put this in perspective and see it for what it is, which is a caricature and something wholly different than what my great-grandfather's life was really like. It's really fascinating.
What was the theater like there in the castle?
They had one screening in the Castle Theater. The screening that I saw with Brian Bishop, who came down from San Francisco to watch the film as well, was in sort of, they have a visitor center screening thing.
On the grounds.
On the grounds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Which is a big IMAX theater.
Oh, you know? Cool.
So they showed it. It was like a huge...
Oh,
it was
wow.
a digital projection. It wasn't
still,
like, yeah, but it was pretty amazing. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And just mind blowing. I can't recommend enough going to see classic movies on the big screen.
It's a very different experience.
It's so different. You don't realize what you're missing when you don't see a movie with an audience. There's laughs you don't know that are there.
Yeah.
There's little things in the corners of the frame that
well,
you
thing,
wouldn't
like,
notice before. Music, it just feels so... It's such a different thing.
And even with these huge, huge screens that people have at home, you still... They're still... First of all, they're not as big as a movie screen, number one. And you see stuff. You see more. You see more, especially for these old movies where they're not letterboxed, so they're not taking up your whole screen at home. And
yeah.
You see it on this huge screen where you're looking up at, you know, this image. And seeing a black and white movie in the theater... is such a different experience.
Well, and everything, like,
or any
you know,
movie, really.
It's,
but I'm
it's,
just, you know,
there's a real difference just because of audience reaction. You know, it's like, I'll give an example. I saw Taxi Driver in the movie theater maybe 10 years ago at the Cinerama Dome. So we saw it again last year.
Yeah,
but awesome. You know, growing up watching that movie, I always just sort of thought of it as this really bleak, which it is, very bleak, like dark subject matter, almost like Catcher in the Rye, as a, you know, but
it's a dark adult movie.
It's a dark movie, but I never found a laugh in that movie until I saw it in the theater, and I realized, oh, the Albert Brooks character is hilarious. The Peter Boyle character is pretty funny. Like, yeah. And people were laughing. And I was like, oh, there's this whole other aspect to this movie that I never...
When you're sitting alone watching it at home, you don't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So I also saw Double Indemnity in the theater last week.
I really want it.
Which
I saw
is
that.
An amazing movie. Billy Wilder wrote with Raymond Chandler. They're co-credited on the screenplay, which is...
Yeah.
I mean, that's... That's amazing.
That is amazing. I
but
love that
see,
movie.
Watch Double Indemnity too. Awesome. But Hearst Castle, Citizen Kane, what a great experience. There's this thing they do that the Alamo Drafthouse does in Austin. It's called the Rolling Road Show, where they sort of do these screenings all over the country
at different locations.
Different locations, places like
where movies took place.
Yeah, like the Devil's Tower. In Wyoming, they show Close Encounters of the Third Kind, or at Monument Valley in Utah, they show The Searchers.
Didn't they do it out here once? They showed Boogie Nights.
Yeah, but it's like they did Boogie Nights in the valley. Or they do Repo Man downtown. It's like, come on, let's do Rebel Without a Cause at the Griffith Observatory.
Or let's see L.A. Confidential at the Formosa Cafe outside or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Like, you know. They need, like, there's so many iconic movies that take place in L.A. where they could use locations that are interesting. Like, just showing Boogie Nights against, like, a strip mall is not, that's, not, that's
kind of a cop-out.
Yeah, it's a cop-out.
Yeah, I agree. That's true. That's a good point.
Like,
point.
They showed The Lost Boys on the pier at in Santa Cruz. That's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know?
Awesome.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
I would be scared, actually. Too many strange people. All right. So,
that was a great experience. And
it was part of the Santa Barbara Film Festival, right?
San Luis Obispo.
I mean, San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
That, awesome. Very cool, man. I wish I had gone.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was on a Sunday night.
It was a really great experience.
A little difficult. Cool. So, now, we're going to get to that famous section of Tech Bacon where we talk about...
Pornography.
Retract
food
that.
Pornography.
Boom. Correct, Jamie D. Food pornography. The food section. This week, on the food section. Dun, 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 dun. What am I doing? What is happening to me? new restaurant opened up in Westwood, California. Called 800 Degrees. You went. I went.
It was freezing in there.
800 degrees below. out here in California and soon to be expanding throughout the country, there's a restaurant or burger place called Umami Burger. Great burgers. Awesome. Cool. The guys who created that have this new concept called 800 degrees. And what it is it's Neapolitan style pizzas, individual pizzas that are cooked in an 800 degree wood burning oven. And what happens is, so they make, let's go start to finish from the experience. You stand in line.
You get into what it looks like a very long line.
It appears to be a long line.
And you're like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do this. Is it really worth the line?
By the way, if you're thinking, is it really worth the line? It is.
The line moves very quickly.
It does. It moves quick. So you walk in and there's guys making the dough right in the front there. And they're, you know, they make your pizza dough and then you get to choose all your ingredients. And it's like super fresh.
So it's sort of like a Chipotle or a layout. Subway sandwich shop kind of layout.
Yeah, exactly. You walk down the line. They have the crazy thing that I thought was that the ingredients were just super, super fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but they were so good and so fresh. And, you know, they give you they put the cheese on and they drizzle a little olive oil on and then you get to choose your ingredients. I got like prosciutto and cheese and olive oil and I think some, some other spice. I can't remember. Basil. I got some basil leaves on there. I'm like, what the hell is it? And then they bring it up and they put it in the oven and it cooks in about a minute and a half.
Yeah. Super quick.
Super quick. What did you get when you went?
I had some sort of, sausage and broccolini and garlic.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah. This kind of pizza is really good.
Yeah.
It's like a little crispy, a little chewy, and you really taste the flavorful olive oil that they put on there.
Individual size.
Yeah. Individual size.
Although I have a secret.
Oh.
I was there.
Enlighten us, sir.
I was there with my, sister and her son, my nephew, Elliot, and my mom was there actually too. We all ordered pizzas and then they had a Bambino pizza for the kids, right?
Oh yeah.
So Aaron ordered a Bambino size for Elliot and it was $4.
Yeah, that's, by the way, the regular pizza, if you get like the pizza margarita, is $5.
Oh.
Without, you know, just
so
cheese.
So it's a pizza margarita. $4. This is the exact same size as the adult pizza.
Oh,
so
nice.
If you order the Bambino margarita pizza,
get $1 off.
It's $1 off if you order it as a kid's pizza.
That's awesome.
I don't know if you're allowed to do it if they don't see that there's a child there.
Right.
But if you bring a giant lollipop and talk like a kid, I think it might work. I want a Bambino.
And you get carried in by your friend. Then you
right. That's worth $1.
I'll pay $1. Yeah, the pizza is just very flavorful for such simple. I mean, you can get crazy ingredient. You know, they have meatballs and they have different kinds of sausages.
Meatballs are crazy ingredients. I've heard of crazy ingredients. Meatballs.
They had like green chilies and they're like different specials, different days and stuff like that.
We should also tell people that it's pretty hard to find good pizza in Los Angeles.
It is. This may go down as my favorite pizza.
I still
in LA.
Have not never Mosa had the one in Eagle Rock that's supposed to be the best, Casa Bianca.
I have not had that either.
That's sort of always on the top of all the lists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This concept though, I love that the dough is a really it's tasty. And because of the way it cooks so quick, you get this little crisp to it, but then it's also chewy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody, I mean, that's how these Neapolitan style pizzas are supposed to be when you make them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place in Santa Fe that we used to go.
El Vecino
that had that style of pizza.
Uh huh.
You know, but I think this concept you're going to see explode. I have a feeling you're going to see it's going to be all around the country.
Oh, for sure.
I have no doubt that these guys are going to take this nationwide and, you know, hopefully they'll keep up the same quality.
I can't
believe
that actually hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
It's usually, you know, you usually...
Well, you've got these ovens are specialty ovens.
You go into like a slice shop. Well, here's the thing. They can build this from the ground up. Like,
correct.
It's not going to be a huge thing in New York or Chicago or... In the suburbs, it will
be. Yeah, right.
But
right.
It's not going to.
No.
You're never going to take the place of a New York pizza shop.
No, of course not.
But yeah, in Poughkeepsie, that's a bad example. In Oklahoma City, it's going to be awesome.
It's well, and it's awesome here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. My favorite pizza shop here closed down a while ago.
What was it?
Jacopo's.
Oh, Jacopo's.
They flew in the cheese from New York and all. That place was good.
Amazing cheese.
But they closed down a while ago.
Yeah, that place was good. This may be my favorite pizza place in LA now. And I mean, I've only been there twice, but it's one of those places where you leave and you're still kind of tasting the flavors and craving it, you know?
There's a pretty good place on top of the new Santa Monica Place Mall.
Oh, I haven't been to that. I know where you're talking about.
Pizza Antica, I think.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, very good.
Interesting.
You would like that.
So 800 degrees. I think it's Adam Fleischman, I think is.
Did you talk about Umami Katesim already?
No, not yet.
Do you want to talk about that?
Not this week.
It's the same people.
Same guys. These guys, yeah. They're you're going to see Umami Burgers they're planning a nationwide expansion of those. So you're going to see those all around the country. They partnered with SPD.
Eh.
I like Umami Burger.
I think it's overrated, but
I like it a lot.
It's good, but it's not
a good burger.
It's not the end-all be-all that people make it out to be, in my opinion.
It's a good burger. I love it. No, we'll talk. I'll talk about Umami Kitasan next week.
Okay.
I don't think I talked about it last week, did I?
We teased it and we never talked about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm teasing it again. And we're going to talk about it next week, the following week. Umami Kitasan. Look it up. I'll give you the scoop. I was there the opening day. So that was a fun and interesting concept. I think that's it. I don't got anything else to say. I feel pretty talked out. Jamie? Jamie is talked out also.
Sorry.
Your podcast.
I would like to retract
skippy.
This entire podcast.
Jamie made up everything he said.
It was not true.
From start to finish.
I really do like Umami Burger.
That's and it. He has never seen Citizen Kane.
Never seen Citizen Kane.
Amazing. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. You can check us out on iTunes and Stitcher and our website at techbacon.net and on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at ScottyG7.
BSTRDMONKEY, Bastard Monkey.
I am Scott.
I'm Jamie.
Thanks for listening.